Where are you at? Are you about His business? Are you desiring for Him to be built up in you? Do you seek Him throughout the day? Do you want His Word to work in you? Are you seeking to be built up in the body of Christ? Are you wanting to become more like Jesus Christ? Are you wanting to grow in your relationship with Jesus?
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today's topic deals with something that we all face now and then, and we're talking about discouragement.
You know, Dave, the reality is we are all tempted at times to be discouraged. We set out to do the right thing, trusting Christ, and yet something or someone comes along and our focus is subtly moved off Christ and we become discouraged. So how can we endure when discouragement hits? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today on Equipping the Saints. Our text is Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, there are many things that can cause us to become discouraged. Whether it's a physical ailment, lack of sleep, the normal everyday pressures of work and relationships, people are often the venue in which we can become discouraged the most at times, right? And certainly our own failures and our own sin can cause us to become discouraged. Yet there's one area that I think we get caught off guard when we get hit by this area and we become discouraged. That area is when we're doing the right thing. When we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ and we get caught off guard and we are tempted to be discouraged. Well, today we're going to see how we can endure when discouragement hits. We're going to see from the book of Haggai encouragement for God's discouraged servants. Turn with me to Haggai. We're going to be looking at chapter 2, verses 1 through 9 as we continue our study of this wonderful book. Now, the context, after the conquest of Canaan, the Jews were in the land for 490 years. And after the kingdom was divided, when Solomon died, the northern kingdom Israel and the southern kingdom Judah continued to be admonished by the prophets over and over again that they needed to repent, that they needed to turn back to the Lord, or God would bring His discipline upon them. Now, the northern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Assyrians, and then soon Judah would be taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And within that, the temple and city of Jerusalem was destroyed in that last third and final siege of Nebuchadnezzar on Jerusalem. That was around 586 BC. Now, when the Persians defeated the Babylonians in 539, as prophesied, Cyrus, a pagan king led by the Lord, took over and changed the policy of captive peoples. And within that, he allowed and decreed in 538 BC, for the Jews to be able to return to their homeland to build the temple. Now, they had become fairly comfortable in Babylon. And within that, about 50,000 devout followers of the Lord decided to leave what was a comfortable place. We see that in Ezra chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. Now, unfortunately, Ezra also records that they began the work on the temple, but then they stopped when there was opposition. And when that opposition had been lifted, they never continued back in the work of the temple. The very reason they had been taken out of Babylon to go back. They didn't go back to the work. And so now the year is 520 BC, when the book of Haggai is being written. It's been 18 years since they were released and 16 years since they laid the foundation of the temple. And this brings us to the immediate context. And so today we're going to see, I believe, how to endure when discouragement hits those who are following the Lord and obeying His word. That in mind, again, turn to Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. But we're going to walk through and review and look at chapter 1 a little bit, so you'll finger back there as I mentioned those verses. Now, with that in mind, chapter 1, we saw that through the prophet Haggai, God had called the people on their misplaced priorities. Look at verse 2 of chapter 1. Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? What was wrong? Well, they were giving their attention to their own lives, their own houses, when the very reason why they had left Babylon was laid desolate, the house of the Lord. They had not been working on it. And things were backward. They were focused on their own lives rather than on what God had called them to do, which was to rebuild the temple. And it's in this chapter, chapter 1, that God reveals the first step on how to identify misplaced priorities. And what we need to do is we need to listen to God's analysis. You see, so often we look at our own lives and we think it from our perspective. We say, everything's fine, we're good to go. But the reality is God's word, when laid across our hearts, reveals truly where we are at. And so they were called to consider their ways, to set their heart upon their ways. Look at verse 5. Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is nothing to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And the one who earns wages to put it in a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now they had enough money, it seems, to have paneled houses, which was very expensive to get that wood from Lebanon. But evidently, God was allowing their money or whatever it might be to just slip through their pockets. He was bringing his disciplinary hand on them, and they weren't satisfied. They ate, but they weren't satisfied. They drank, they were not satisfied. They were clothed, but they were not warm enough. And we saw one of the first symptoms of misplaced priorities in this life. You know, when we find ourselves not satisfied, it's an evidence something's going on in our lives. Something's going on where we're not content. And certainly we see that with them. But also we see that God had placed his disciplinary hand on them. Look at verses 9 through 11. I'll read verse 8 in a minute, so I didn't skip that, but I'll read in a minute. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because my house lies desolate, while each one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I called for a drought on the land, and on the mountains, and on the grain, and on the new wine, and on the oil, on the ground, and on men, and on cattle, and all the labor of your hands. God's disciplinary hand was on his people. Now, these were the most devout Yahweh followers. They were the ones who left Babylon to come back and actually be about God's work. They were the ones who wanted to follow the Lord. You know, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we decide to follow Jesus. We give up everything. We want to follow Jesus, but yet we can get sidetracked. And this life can encumber us in different ways, and we can become sidetracked from what God would have us do. Now we know that the Lord whom he loves, the Lord disciplines. Proverbs chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 12. And so God was allowing these physical and spiritual droughts to cause them to then hear his word, to consider their ways, set their heart upon their ways. Think about the path of your feet. What do you do every day? What do you do when you get up? What are your ways? What do you think about? Set your heart on your ways. Set your heart in your ways. And what were they to do? What was to be their priority as followers of the Lord? Verse 8. Go up to the mountains, bring wood and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and glorified, says the Lord. So they were to be about God's work. They were to go and bring wood and rebuild the temple, that which they had left Babylon to do. They were to be about God's work, the very reason they came out of Babylon back to the land of Israel. They were to do so that they would please and glorify God. And this should be the reason behind everything that we do as believers. Now they are to rebuild his house, the temple, the physical temple, which was destroyed by the Babylonians. That glorious house that Solomon had built and David had prepared and had got everything ready for it. And Solomon fulfilled that and built that house, that gloriously wonderful house that God had given them the plans. And they did it according to those plans. It had been destroyed. And now they were to rebuild. Now what about us? You know, should we be rebuilding a physical temple? Should we be building church buildings? Should we be about the physical portions of that? Well, I shared last time, the time before, the imagery of the temple in the Old Testament. I'm just going to briefly review that. We know that although God does not dwell in temples made of human hands, The purpose of the tabernacle and the temple was to be a visible picture of the heavenly realities. And also, he would use that to identify with his people, personifying his presence so they could see the manifestation of his glory. And the earthly temple was a copy or shadow of that heavenly reality, Hebrews chapter 8 and 9. And within the physical temple, there were sacrifices offered by priests according to the law that pointed to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, who died for our sins. And now believers, we know, are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. God dwells in us. We are his temple. We are his building project. We are what he is building up through the word of God, that we would offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to him. He is building us up individually and corporately. And that's what he's doing, that he would be glorified. And guess what, brothers and sisters? We can get sidetracked. We can intend. I'm not talking about those of you who could care less about following Jesus. I'm talking about those of you who have given your life to Christ and want to follow Christ wholeheartedly. There's no divide in your heart. You want to follow Jesus. You want to obey him. But we can get sidetracked. Things of this life can become larger than they really should be. And we cannot be about his business. So how does this apply to us? We need to glorify God. We need to see and recognize what God is doing through the church, individually and corporately, that we would be built up to glorify Christ. Again, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We see that so clearly in Scripture, that God is building us. Like we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, we are living stones being built upon the foundation of Christ Jesus, he being the cornerstone to offer those spiritual sacrifices. We are the temple of the living God, and God is building us up. And so for those of you who have come to faith in Jesus, you have left Babylon. You have chosen to follow Jesus. You have chosen to obey him. How's the condition of his house? What's the condition of his house? Is it the same as it was 10 years ago? Is it the same as it was 16 years ago? Is the foundation in ruins? What's the condition of his house? Well, we see here that we are to consider our ways. We are to set our heart upon our ways to see if we are about his business. Now, we saw last week a wonderful thing, that these Jews who were true believers responded. They responded to the word of God. They responded to God's exhortation. And by the way, reproofs are for life. We see that throughout Scripture. If you read through Proverbs, those who are truly his, those are the ones who respond to reproof. Those are the ones who God's word works in their hearts. And you see that. And so this brings us to the end of his sermon. And we see in chapter 1, verse 12, notice what happens. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And remember, those are the leaders. Zerubbabel would have been king at that time. He was in the line of David. You'll see him in the genealogy in Matthew. But yet they were under Cyrus, so there was no king in Judah. And then they had the high priest, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak. And then, notice, with all the remnant of the people, verse 12. And I like that word, the remnant. It's the few that actually are following Jesus, right? It's the remnant. You see that word throughout the Old Testament. The remnant of the people. They're the ones that are his people. A lot of people name his name, but not many following him. We see that in the Old Testament, and we see that, too, in the church these days. The remnant of the people, what did they do? They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent them. They obeyed the word the way that God had brought it forth. God brought it forth through Haggai. They obeyed the word as it came forth, as God delivered it his way, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people showed reverence. And we looked last week, that term obey, it's a heart issue. Hear, O Israel, it's the term hear, but it's when you hear with a desire to obey. The great Shema, we tell our kids, listen to me, and we're saying behind that, do what we say. Hear, O Israel, listen up. And they listened with the intent of obeying. And that's what believers do. You hear the word of God. You come here to church, not here to argue or to debate or to make sure, check everything out. Certainly we're Bereans, but we come to hear the word of God. We come here with a right heart to do what he says. And they heard it. And they did, as we see in a minute, they did obey. And notice they also feared. They also feared. They showed reverence for the Lord. You want to know if God's word is working in your heart. It produces reverence, a new sense of honor and glory to him. They feared him. They feared him. It's not a fear of being afraid. It's a fear of reverence for the Lord. It's seeing him rightly. He's in charge. He's a good God. He's a gracious God who has led us out of Babylon back here and who has led us out of our sin here, right? Out of the sinful sin that we have been forgiven from, right? And so we have the tremendous reality. And so this is how the Lord wants us to respond when he calls upon us to consider our ways. To hear with the intent of obeying and then reverencing him. And that's going to produce something. Notice how God responds to them. Verse 13. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke. And last week we saw the term commission, is the same word as messenger. They're basically a little cognate. Spoke the message. The messenger spoke the message. The message of the Lord, or commission of the Lord, to the people, saying, here's the Lord's response. Isn't this great? I am with you, declares the Lord. Now, was he not with them before? Well, he wasn't with them in the sense that he was approving of what they were doing. This people says it's not time to rebuild, right? He wasn't with them in the sense that he approved of their lives and not being about his business. But now they want to obey, and heaven is on their side. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. You know, back in Ezra, we see that the Lord stirred up their spirits to leave Babylon, to follow him, to do what he wanted them to do. And now they have heard his word. They have the right heart. I want to obey the word of God. And they are fearing God. And now God stirs up their spirit, enables them, after having shared that he is with them, his presence and his empowerment. We see that. And then notice what happens. Verse 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they what? They came and worked on the house of the Lord. They were about God's business. They were doing it. They responded rightly. When we are about the hearing and fearing of his word and him, he then encourages us and enables us to do what he calls us to do. We can't do it. I can't preach. I can't share with you. I can't use the giftings that God has given me unless he enables me to do that. And he is faithful when we desire to obey him in our lives. And we set him first. He is faithful in that. And so we saw the proper response. And within that, we saw God's encouragement and his empowerment. And they got to work. Well, some of you today, you may have realized, maybe the last 2 weeks, you're not about the Lord's business. And you really do know the Lord. You do know him. You're not deceiving yourself like those in James who look in a mirror and they get convicted for a second. They turn away and they forget who they really are. You're not like that. There are people who will come to church, they'll hear the word, and they'll walk right out there and they've forgotten everything they have heard because they don't know the Lord. James says their religion is worthless. But if you're a true believer and you've been convicted, where are you at? Are you about his business? Are you desiring for him to be built up in you? Do you seek him throughout the day? Do you want his word to work in you? Are you seeking to be built up in the body of Christ? Are you wanting to become more like Jesus Christ? Are you wanting to grow in your relationship with Jesus? That's the way it should be. How will you respond? Will you listen? Will you fear? Will you obey the Lord? So with that in mind, we have this body here, the remnant of people and the leaders who are obeying the Lord. And now we come to chapter 2. And I find this very interesting that they're going to get discouraged, it appears. And God is gracious to encourage them. Look in chapter 2. Let's read through verses 1 to 3 to start with. On the 21st of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? Doesn't it seem like nothing? You see, what we're going to see is that a little less than a month has gone by. They are obeying the Lord, and three or so weeks have gone by, and all of a sudden, God, through Haggai, brings another message to them. And he asks them, who here saw the temple in its former glory? Does it look to you like nothing in comparison? You know, God is gracious here. Earlier, in chapter 1, he confronted them, didn't he? He said, why are you about your houses when you should be about mine? It lays in ruins. He confronts them. Here, he is very gracious. They're about his business. And he comes along graciously to say, oh, who saw this way? And he's going to talk to him through Haggai. Again, on the 21st of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying... Again, the word of the Lord came through Haggai, the word of the Lord. God is speaking to them. God is, as we're going to see, encouraging them. And folks, it's God's analysis that matters. You know, we can try to analyze, and we do analyze our lives, but we are not to lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we are to acknowledge him, and he will make our paths straight. We're not to trust in mankind. We're not to trust in our own judgment. We need God's judgment. And they're following the Lord, and God was gracious to bring his word to them. And now we as believers, we have his word, and it is up to us to allow his word to work on our hearts. You're not going to be lying in bed, and God is going to say, thus says the Lord through so-and-so, unless you're reading the word. And so, yes, God was gracious to come alongside them at the right time. But the way he comes along us at the right time is through listening to the word of God, being in it, allowing your heart to be sensitive to what God says. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. That's what we call him. Not too successful, by the way, from a human standpoint. No converts, basically. He was faithful to God, faithful to the word, faithful to his calling. And we see that in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, the Lord shares through him, Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Cursed. You trust in man. You trust in your own flesh. You trust in yourself. You're cursed. And he says here, for he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see prosperity when prosperity comes, but will live in stony waste places in the wilderness, a land of salt and without inhabitant.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Haggai. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, give us some ways that we can begin to combat discouragement in our walk today.
Well, Dave, as we saw in today's passage, there are a number of ways that discouragement can creep in on us. One of those is by comparison. And when we pull our eyes off Jesus and start to compare ourselves and our circumstances with others, this inevitably leads to discouragement or pride. Brother, sister, if you're prone to compare, confess your sin to the Lord. Then just ask him to help you in this area. Get in his word, memorize it, take those verses that apply specifically to what you're struggling with, and fix your eyes on Jesus, not on your surroundings.
you can have in Christ victory over comparison, and it begins by confessing to the Lord. If you struggle with the sin of comparison, then today is the day to turn from that and to walk rightly with the living God. The next step is up to you.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.